Hey, you want that to go?
So hold your horses, sports fiends. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen has our sports takeout in just a moment. But first, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Todd, good morning.
Hi, good morning, John.
So it seems as though the Democrats in the House and Senate are looking for a victim, and they may have found a victim in Ben Bernanke. Listen to Robert Gibbs speaking on Fox News Sunday.
I think now would be a particularly bad time to send a signal to the international community and to our overall financial system by playing politics in any way with this upcoming vote.
Referring to the confirmation vote for reconfirmation vote for Ben Bernanke, chairman of the Federal Reserve, and the translation of that would be, it's a great time for playing politics with this. What's going on, Todd?
There was opposition to Ben Bernanke for Fed chairman mounting before the Democrats lost in Massachusetts and had this gigantic oh my gosh moment. And ever since then, it's mounted. But the opposition, John, isn't just coming from liberals in the Senate, although it is coming from there. There are holds on Bernanke from all over the map, from Bernie Sanders of Vermont all the way over to the far right, Jim DeMint of South Carolina, and several senators in between. So you saw several leading senators over the weekend dashing off statements and rushing to Bernanke's defense. So now Harry Reid, the majority leader, and Mitch McConnell, the minority leader, not to mention Chris Dodd and Judd Gregg, all powerful senators in the either leaders or the banking area, saying he should be supported, and McConnell predicting that he would get through this week, although it's not going to be nearly as close as the administration, I'm sure, had hoped. Nothing is certain now after this loss in Massachusetts and faltering health care, so they're rushing to his defense this week, that's for sure.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
And now on to sports. Well, we know who's going to the Super Bowl.
And it's picked off. Off the deflection, Kelvin Hayden has the interception. And the Colts have all but locked up a berth in the Super Bowl.
Joining us now is Takeaway Sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. So the Indianapolis Colts beat the New York Jets 30-17 in the AFC Championship. They're now all but locked up.
Well, check this out. Third quarter, Pierre Garçon, the Haitian but New York-born kid, the wide receiver for the Colts, he comes off the line, he shakes the Jets defender, he makes him see a ghost, he creates a space, and then he underneath which Peyton Manning drops the ball for the go-ahead touchdown, and the Colts never looked back. They scored 24 points. They were down 17-6. They raced to the end, and 30-17 was the final score.
But Jets fans aren't you know sad necessarily sad today. Their team did okay.
There's a difference between confidence and momentum, and the Jets came into this game with momentum. The Indianapolis Colts had confidence. They didn't need to. You know, they rested their starters, but they didn't need to worry about anything else. They didn't have to talk. The Jets fans had the momentum that built their confidence, but really at the end of the day, it was the confidence of the Colts and of Peyton Manning that proved to win the day.
Now, the other team that's going is the Saints, the New Orleans Saints. I'm sure that's a crowd favorite just in terms of the emotional recovery after Katrina. What about this matchup?
Well, first of all, the Saints are now they are now America's team. They no more is it Dallas, no more is it any other team. It's not even the Yankees. It's New Orleans Saints. After what happened in Katrina, now and what happened in the Superdome in general, now you have the curses were exterminated in that victory yesterday. Garrett Hartley
over the Minnesota Vikings,
exactly,
right?
Over the Vikings. Garrett Hartley, when he kicked that game-winning field goal in overtime, 31-28. What he had visioned it the night before. He called his dad at 2 a.m. and he said, I have a feeling I'm going to kick the game-winning field goal from 42 yards out on the right hash. And it happened exactly that way. So you got to give it to – there was something going on in Bourbon Street yesterday.
A little voodoo there?
A little something happening.
So you're declaring the Saints are America's team?
They're America's team.
Well, but are you declaring them the winner of the Super Bowl?
I'm not going to go that far.
Favoring the Colts.
I'm going to go with the Colts because I think Peyton Manning is on a mission. And I think if you might remember I said it before that the Colts were a team of destiny. I got a little sidetracked by the euphoria of the Jets. But now I'm back down to earth and I'm feeling these Colts right now.
Twice in the Super Bowl in the last 4 years.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Okay, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, the Takeaway Sports contributor. It's going to be an interesting quarterback matchup between Breeze and...
Tons of drama there,
yeah.
Tons
of drama. Well, it says in the Constitution, and you read your Constitution, right, Ibrahim?
Of course.
It says in the Constitution that presidents must in some way report to the Congress and by implication the American people about the State of the Union. And what has become an annual speech gets delivered this week. Now, the Constitution says nothing about what you think, but call 877-8-MY-TAKE with your assessment of the country and try to do it in 6 words or less. To get the conversation going, we decided to get in touch with some of the memorable voices on the program over the last year, and it, citizens like Richard Lavelli in Detroit, who told us that he was a janitor, a Republican, and a regular listener.
My opinion of the current State of the Union is that we've favored the banks a bit too much. And I am, I think, generally opposed to the health care that Obama is after. Kind of glad we got our Republican majority, or at least control back a little bit.
Not Republican majority, not quite yet. Our friend Gustavo Arellano has his own soapbox. He's a columnist and journalist, and he's trying to stay positive about the next 12 months from out there in Southern California.
My State of the Union is one that's bleak, but one that's also lined with hope. It's bleak immediately because both my parents have been now unemployed. They were unemployed most of 2009. They continue to be unemployed. And I don't really see the economy picking up anytime soon to be able to get my parents' employment anytime soon. I also see a country that is increasingly becoming more and more polarized and, frankly, more and more insane on the political spectrum, in the differences between us, especially in the political spectrum, especially, my gosh, the level of rhetoric I can only imagine hasn't been matched since the McCarthy era. On both sides, I would say, the political aisle. But I'm an optimist. How can you not be an optimist when you're the child of two Mexican immigrants who came here with next to nothing, and even though they're unemployed, they were able to buy a house early on in their life where they're in no danger of losing that house. Even if everything went to hell, we would still have that house. And I always know that eventually this country and all of those around me, we'll get to a good spot here.
Give us your 6-word State of the Union at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can post it at thetakeaway.org. Coming up, we're going to get a look at a very controversial, exciting subject, transportation, with Andrea Bernstein.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.